Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business Presentation of the Month. This monthly CV web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandian Associates' vision of teaching contractors how to run profitable businesses. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Marketing is important. Marketing works. And guess what? We have all listened to numerous presentations, which all kind of sound the same. Believe it or not, this month is different. This month, Joe Kittinger presents a fresh look at marketing from outside of the trades industry. Joe is going to share 7 really practical steps to becoming the brander-in-chief of your business. Joe began his marketing career in the mid-90s. He then became an independent advisor in 2002 when he opened J. Kittinger Advertising. The agency has since changed its name to Profit Marketing Incorporated, named after the process Joe created to effectively communicate marketing success. Joe is the brander-in-chief of his company and markets himself as the Ad Prophet and provides a free online publication called Wisdom on Wednesday. Since its debut 3 years ago, Wisdom on Wednesday now has subscribers in over 40 states and 3 countries. You can sign up for the free publication at www.wisdomonwednesday.com. Now sit back, relax, and listen to a really refreshing approach to marketing.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here with you today to teach you the profit marketing system that took over 5 years to put together, to test, and to confirm that all the philosophies put together are accurate and businesses are winning using it. Now, I want to be your marketing coach. That's the purpose of this. I want to do actually really little editing on this whole piece because I want you to hear my flaws. I want you to hear what I'm all about. I want you to feel my passion on the subject. We are helping small businesses win against big, intimidating competitors. And we're doing it with the profit marketing system. And what you need to do right now is, as you listen to this CD, as you listen to this information, you need to open up your mind. Because some of you will be already implementing a lot of these steps, of the 7 steps of profit marketing. And some of you, I probably have 40 folks in your organization or more, 100 people, and some of you are just a little 2-person shop. Profit marketing works with all these size of businesses. It doesn't matter. It's a small business system that you can implement now into your marketing plan. And the premise of it is profit marketing is 2 words. You must be a prophet to make a profit. We spell it P-R-O-P-H-I-T. Be a prophet to make a profit. That means you humble yourself, you take the information of great marketing people before you, you see what they did right, and folks who did things wrong, and that's how this system was born. And if you can learn from people who have been there before you, it means that you can prevent mistakes perhaps that they made. So the premise of profit marketing is every business decision you make is a marketing decision. Who you're going to hire, who you're going to fire. How does your billing system work? Does your lot look clean? Are your trucks clean? Because every decision you make is either making it easier for the customer to decide to work with you, or you're making it more difficult for the customer to decide to work for you. There are no other decisions in your business world. And if you think of any decision you make for your company, should I buy that piece of equipment? Should I not buy that piece of equipment? You are making a decision for your customer. Is it easier? Will that piece of equipment signify something that would make it easier? We'd be able to provide more for our customer? Or would it be something that would maybe draw us back? You know, we can't afford it right now. It actually hurt our relationship with the customer. So these are all decisions. So open your mind to profit marketing. It's a 7-stage process. Let's get started. I want you to use the image as we start profit marketing system. Use the image of the mountain. And when you picture a mountain, if you're going to cheat and fly a helicopter on top of the mountain, you will fall down this mountain of marketing. You need to build it one step at a time and make sure that all the pieces are in place. Where we start is the valleys. You know, I believe that if you're going to achieve greatness in anything, you have to go to the valleys first. You can't just become the expert instantly. And so what I want you to do is picture the mountain. We're starting in the valleys, and here you are in the first stage. It's the valleys. Now let's start climbing the mountain. The first stage of profit marketing is to identify what kind of brander are you? What kind of leader are you? What kind of owner are you when it comes to your marketing? I have identified four different styles of owners when it comes to their marketing, and we call them branders. I mean, you've heard this term branding, right? And we'll get into branding in a bit. But here are the different types of owners. And you are definitely a part of all of these, but you primarily live in one or two of these countries, so to speak. Okay, so the first is a brander technician. The majority of entrepreneurs today are brander technicians. They're working on everything in their business, and they're beating their brains up. Perhaps you've heard working on your business versus working in your business. The brander technician works in their business. They do everything. They're the people who are just so busy. I'm so busy, I can't do anything else. I'm just so busy. Where working on your business is the visionary people, and they inspire folks who work with them to carry out the will. And we'll get to what those personalities are like. So you have the brander technician. There's also the brander paranoid. Now, they're the worst kind. The brander paranoids basically don't trust. They hire people who are not as smart as they are because it's important for them to feel like they're the smart guy or the smart gal. They say, just let me do it. I'll just do it because you're just going to screw it up. Okay? They believe it's their way or the highway. And brander paranoids will never come to the coveted position of brander in chief, which is where I encourage you to strive for, brander in chief. Now, let's look at the third, a brander phobic. Now, it has a negative name, this brander phobic, but they're really brander delegators when you really think about it. It's, you do it. Here's what I'd like you to do. I know I'm not good at this, so they hire people smarter than they are in that category. For instance, if they're good at sales on their product, they're hiring the experts to produce the product. They're hiring the folks to do all the accounting and the billing. They understand that they can't do it all, and they hire people who are smarter than they are when it comes to that area of the business. Brander phobics like to hide behind a marketing person, but unfortunately, sometimes they'll just hire someone who could just be the secretary to say, you know what, you're the marketing person. I want you to field all the marketing calls and make some decisions on TV and radio if that's the area that they need to pursue. And this poor secretary person maybe had a class in marketing and says, well, this is kind of a lot for me. Okay? So the brander phobic likes to hide behind the fence, hide behind these people. And when they're not comfortable with a certain area, they like to delegate it. The coveted area is brander in chief. Now, they're similar to a brander phobic in that they're great at delegating. They're wonderful at trusting. Once they've done their homework, they say, that person is good in this position. I'm going to hire that person, or I'm going to partner with them if they're on the outside. And the brander in chief's role is a coach. Think about a football team. When your players are running around, the coach isn't physically out there doing anything. The coach is inspiring. The coach is coming up with the strategy. The coach is coming up with the plan. And then the team fulfills the coach's will to win. And we all want to win. Brander in chiefs establish companies whose players want to win because their will itself is a winning will, meaning what drives them is to win. And every person, I don't care who you are, wants to be a part of a winning team. Everyone wants to be felt appreciated. Everyone wants to be part of belonging and being a part of something special. And brander in chiefs create that. Now, let's talk about the brander in chief. That's where I want to focus. What do? Well, they practice what they preach. Brander in chiefs come up with systems of, this is how we do it here. They say, you know, when a customer comes in the door, first we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and then they step here, and then we do this. They create a system so that their associates can follow it. So no matter who the customer is walking in, we'll have a similar experience. Does that make sense? If folks have similar experiences, then when they tell their friends about this experience, their friends will have the same experience. That consistency is the nature, is the root of great marketing. And the only way to create that consistency is to get real specific on systems of, this is how we do it here. The brander in chief, when it comes to their advertising, their thumbprint is on every piece that goes out to their associates and on every piece that goes out to the public. They are the brander in chief. They're changing scripts. They may even start writing a script and give it to a writing team and say, this is what I want to say. Now, make it more word speak. Make it ad speak. Make it work for the public, because I'm too inside my bottle. I can't read the label of my own company. But this is what I want to say. Now, you guys write the copy. They're very involved. They hire people who are smarter than they are. They accept and embrace change. You know, it's been said that only wet babies like change. I mean, isn't that true when you think about change? We all say, oh, I like change. I accept change. But very few people are willing to change themselves. They want everyone else to change, and they don't look at themselves. A brander-in-chief looks at themselves first and says, if I want this culture in my organization, if I'm going to be the coach, things have got to change, and I have to accept that. The biggest thing brander-in-chiefs do that all these other folks struggle with is hold people accountable for their actions. So you create a system. You're seeing an associate deviate from that system. You need to step in. I'm the coach. You know, think about it. These yearly reviews drive me crazy, because if I have to wait a year for you to tell me what I'm doing wrong or what I'm doing right, you just wasted half of my year. You wasted 10 months. Can you imagine a coach going up to their associate or going up to their player and saying, you know, 6 months ago, you know, you threw a lot of interceptions over the middle, and it's because you're always off on the wrong foot. I mean, your balance wasn't right, Mr. You know, quarterback player. And the quarterback player goes, coach, thanks for telling me now. I could have used that information 6 months ago. So the brander-in-chief is the coach, holding people accountable to the system every single day and reminding them of that system. It's more important to be reminded than instructed. And the brander-in-chief reminds all the time. This is how we do it here. This is how we do it here. Brander-in-chiefs lead by authority, not by power. Authority is getting people from the neck up to do your will because they're on a winning team and they want to be a part of that team. When you have to pull that power card out of your pocket, you failed. The brander-in-chief just laments over that. If the power card needs to be pulled, the brander-in-chief feels major failure. You want folks to follow you because they believe in you, because you're giving them a plan, the big picture of where this company is going, and that they can be a part of it. So a great book for you to read is called The Servant by James Hunter. It's your first step to becoming a brander-in-chief. The Servant will open your eyes into servant leadership. And servant leadership is composed of two words. Leadership, I will follow you, boss, because you inspire me. That's gaining authority with people, right? And then there's servant, which is meeting the legitimate needs of your associates, not their wants, their legitimate needs to get their job done. It's taking all those roadblocks away and allowing their car to just ride where they can be themselves, express themselves, but achieve the will of the brander-in-chief and of the organization. So I want you to read the book, The Servant by James Hunter. Go to your bookstore, order it online, and get started on this journey, because becoming a brander-in-chief isn't, okay, I read the book, Joe, I read the book, and now I'm brander-in-chief. It's taking those ideas out of the book and practicing them. And you can start by holding people accountable and creating a system for this is how we do it here. And we're going to get more into that system as we move on through the process of profit marketing. So there you have it. There are brander technicians, brander paranoids, brander phobic. Our goal is to be brander-in-chief. Let's go to the next section. It's time to head up the mountain to the next stage, which is market viability. Now, first of all, let me tell you that profit marketing was created by looking at successful businesses. Remember, be a prophet to make a profit. I was a prophet. Well, what is the prophet? Well, the prophet is the student and the teacher. You need to become the student so you can become the teacher to inspire your people. The next stage, market viability, is something great marketing companies have in place. And when I say marketing companies, I'm not talking ad agencies. I'm talking heating and cooling people, furniture stores, marketing companies. They may sell furniture. A marketing company may sell cars. Okay? So companies who do marketing well have these stages in common. Market viability is your position within the marketplace, within your category. So if you're a heating and cooling person, what is your position versus your competitors in the marketplace? Be careful not to be a me too. One person's known as the service person. How can you possibly be known as a service person? You need to have great service. But how can you position it differently against that competitor so that you're not a me too? Because we don't want to be a me too. Let me explain positioning in regards to pizza. There's a common commodity, pizza. Now, 20 years ago, there were two main companies. There was Pizza Hut and there was Domino's, right? Pizza Hut is you bring the family to the restaurant. It's nice and warm and fuzzy, fresh before your eyes. Domino's, quick, cheap, adequate. I mean, right? Let's be honest. And that was their mantra. We'll get to you 30 minutes or less, okay? Now, Papa John's came into the pizza market, and the entrepreneur went to the investors and said, I want to start a pizza company. And the investors go, are you crazy? They have Pizza Hut and Domino's. How can you compete? Because I'm going to be more like Pizza Hut and like Domino's. They can only pick it up or I will deliver, but it's going to be fresh, better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's, like Pizza Hut, but we're just going to do a delivery deal. So the pizza will be less expensive than Pizza Hut and more than Domino's. And it was a very successful franchise. Next, Papa Murphy's comes into the marketplace. Now, the investor goes up to the entrepreneur and says, you want to start a pizza company? And the entrepreneur goes, that's right. Here's the deal. We are going to sell pizzas and not even cook them. We're not even going to have an oven inside of our place. So, and the investor's going, well, so you're going to have frozen pizzas then? No. It's going to be like the Subway concept. The dough is going to be raw. They're going to create this pizza in front of folks, and they're going to pick it up. We're not even going to deliver it. And they go, huh, might work. Well, it has worked. For the past 4 years, Papa Murphy's has been the fastest growing pizza chain in America. Now, I've just uncovered another pizza chain starting out called Figaro's. Don't know if it's in your area yet. It's here in Wisconsin. Figaro's will heat it and deliver it or deliver it to you fresh. Or you can pick it up and they'll cook it, or you can pick it up fresh and take it home with you. So they're combining the Papa John's model with the Papa Murphy's model. So the point is, what is your differentiation point that you can hang your hat on to make you clearly different among your competitors? And here's a simple exercise. Start with your three top competitive strengths. List them down. What are those top three competitive strengths you have within your company? Compare them against your competitors and see where you can hang your hat on. If you could only pick one thing to talk about that's in every single marketing materials you produce, what would it be? There are definite riches and niches. What are yours? Great companies who do marketing well definitely have a niche within their product category. Let's continue up this mountain of marketing success to the third phase of the profit marketing system, the customer experience factor. That is, are you living up to your customers' expectations relative to what you're telling them in your marketing? You know, owners tend to look at their company through rose-colored glasses, and they say, oh, we do this, and our service is great, and we call people back, you know, before 5 o'clock, and they believe that their company is doing all this great stuff. But when you start interviewing the associates, they tell you a different story. But you need to get your box organized. This is a key deal. Before you start advertising, if you're going to use radio, TV, or any medium to talk about yourself, your system has to be explained and executed within your four walls. And you don't have to have everything perfect. Just what do you execute 100% of the time consistently, and talk about that. And then as you're working on your system throughout your organization, you can keep adding other benefits to your marketing plan that goes out to the customer. But you have to make sure that the system is in place. And that's what the brander in chief does, if you remember. They create a system of this is how we do it here. Let's talk about some elements of a positive customer experience factor. Start practicing GOLD. GOLD is an acronym, G-O-L-D. It stands for Grand Opening Look Daily. This is where you go to your folks and say, listen, you get a big old sign up, G-O-L-D, we're going to practice GOLD. And they go, well, what does that mean, boss? It means Grand Opening Look Daily. It means that we are going to stop looking at our business as a commodity that we see every day. And we're going to start looking at our business through fresh eyes, through a customer whose first interaction with us. What are they seeing? Okay, are they seeing the chip paint on the wall, that squeaky door that we keep passing by? Let's get it fixed. Let's get this place looking like a grand opening look. And we're going to do it every day. Eliminate non-quality signals. That goes right along with GOLD. If you have a non-quality signal, it tells the customer that, you know what? We're a little inadequate in this area, and it breaks down trust. If you have vehicles that go out on the road, you should have a system in place to keep those vehicles looking brand spanking new. It shows quality. It shows commitment. If you are going into someone's home, you need to have logoed apparel. That's a very serious violation, if you will, into someone's home. And a lot of times it's the women at home, and a strange man is coming in. If you're in the heating and cooling industry, make sure you're logoed. The vehicle you're driving up in is logoed. It gives confidence and security to the person, the customer that you are engaging with. Establish again that system for this is how we do it here. And use your staff. Say, listen, we're going to create a system of how we're going to interact with our customer. What would be in that system? And be outrageous. Name everything. If you want to bring them champagne when they walk in the door, put down champagne when they walk in the door. After you're outrageous, it's time to get real and start crossing off the things that you cannot consistently 100% of the time deliver on. And that's how a system is born. And then you need to remind 1,000 times. You can't just say, well, I told Jim that, and he's not doing it. Well, you're instructed once, but now you need to remind over and over and over again. You yourself need to live that system. That's what the Brander-in-Chief does. Your people see you living the system. The upper management, middle management goes, geez, I better do that. Boss is really serious about this stuff. Then they start acting it and practicing it. And then the rest of the associates follow in line. And remember, you can do this with two people. You can act like a Brander-in-Chief in a very shallow organization. And you can act like a Brander-in-Chief if you've got 40, 100 or more associates. You need to be that Brander-in-Chief. Be that coach. Instruct your people on here's a system that we grade together and remind them over and over again. You may even want to come up with a constitution for a department or for a company saying these are the 4 or 5 rules we're going to live by. And when someone isn't living by them, everyone is allowed to hold each other accountable. And that's the key, holding people accountable. Ray Kroc said the system is a solution. The goal of any entrepreneur is to teach others how to do something perfect almost every time. Systems provide freedom to the originator. So when you go away, you know that system is going to be practiced in and out, in and out. And then systems create consistency of experience for the customer. So that customer experience factor is crucial. Review this part of this series over and over again and start creating that system. Get your people involved. Now it's time to move up the mountain. Going up the profit marketing mountain to process managers and process partners. Stage 4 of the profit marketing system. Great companies who do marketing well have process managers inside the organization and process partners on the outside. See, because the Brander-in-Chief can trust, they partner with a lot of outside vendors that would cost them so much more dollars and investment if they were to bring them in-house. Process partners and process managers are the folks that give acceleration to your dream. They give acceleration to your system, and they're the ones doing it. They are the technicians making sure that your dream, your will, is fulfilled. Now, the process manager is on the inside. Have you ever had roundtable discussions in your organization? Well, let's say you have vehicles. And one topic could be, you know what, our vehicles are kind of dirty. They're not always clean. We should do something to keep our vehicles clean and looking good at all times. And everyone sits around and goes, you know, that's right. You know, and I had an account also comment on our vehicles. Yeah, we all agree to do that. What's the next subject? It needs to stop and say, great, who's going to PM that? That's what we do in our organization. Who's going to PM that? If it means the kitchen needs to be always cleaned, who's going to PM that? Process manage it, meaning that you don't have to do it all the time, but I want to hear a system by the end of the week to how we're going to keep those trucks clean, how we're going to keep that kitchen clean. Okay, so process managers and process partners fulfill the will and get things done. These process partners are outside vendors. They keep projects moving. And you need to identify the weaknesses within your company or where you're shallow. For instance, a lot of people partner with accounting firms. You probably have your own. Well, they are definitely a process partner. They should be embraced, and obviously they know everything about your company as far as the financial end of things. Have them feel appreciated, though. Tell them you appreciate what they're doing. This will build confidence and a tight relationship between you and your process partner. Appreciation. Mother Teresa said this, that people crave appreciation more than they do food. And of all people, she would know that, wouldn't she? Appreciation is what builds these relationships. Look for vendors who can process manage a department or project for you and develop them into a process partner. People will think that they're actually part of your organization because you have a tight bond. You're sharing appreciation. You're putting yourself out there. You're sharing stuff about your business. You're sharing your dream with them, and your dream then becomes their dream. Process partners help you work on your business, not in it. So this is particularly important if you're a shallow organization. When I say shallow, I mean just 3 to 5 people, maybe less than 20 people. You may not be able to afford a marketing department, but certainly there are marketing people you could partner with that then become your marketing department. And they're doing marketing for a lot of different businesses, but you only need to pay them for the time that they're doing marketing on your business. So it saves you an enormous amount of headaches because they are not only the experts, but they fulfill your will. They're doing all the busy work that you can be on your business, not in your business. Now, here's the action plan for that. Make a list of all the areas of your business that you need a process partner on or that you can do better on. Start reflecting. Is it accounting? Is it marketing? How about a maintenance program? Is there some sales, outside salespeople that you need to look at? Technology, perhaps an IT person where you can be on your technology. We just hired a process partner to run our IT systems. And let me tell you, for $250 a month, this has freed me up tremendously. And I know more about my IT department now than I ever have because I turned to an expert. This is the stuff that I'm talking about. Write down who are those process partners going to be. And when you get into a meeting among your people and there's a decision that needs to be made or an action that needs to be made, you're going to say, we need a process manager on that. We're going to set a deadline. Get back to me on Friday with how we're going to do that or who's going to do that. Do not let a meeting break if you have some action that needs to be done that you don't assign someone to that action and then hold them accountable. That's process partners and process managers. On to the next stage. Great companies who do marketing well have what we call a mantra. And we call it the mantra concept. Now, a mantra concept is the feeling your brand portrays. It's not your slogan necessarily. Your slogan can talk about it, but it doesn't need to. The mantra concept, for instance, let's take national brands that you can relate with and understand. Corona. When you think of the brand Corona, what is that feeling? The feeling most people tell me when I ask them is freedom, the beach, vacation, relaxing. And you're absolutely right. That is a feeling around the Corona brand. Now let's look at the Apple product. When you look at that little apple, what is the feeling around that brand? Well, when I ask folks, the response I typically get is cutting edge, individualism. I can have my iPod, my own music. I can be creative. It's a creative person's computer. And they are starting to get big strides right now, breaking into that PC market. Which, by the way, I've learned they only hold 5% of the computer market. Isn't that interesting? 95% is Microsoft's. And now Apple, with their new campaigns, they're really starting to break into that. And they certainly have room to grow. So what is that feeling that your brand can portray? And you might say, you know what? I'm just this little sandwich shop, or I'm just a heating and cooling guy. I mean, well, how can I project a feeling? Well, look at profit marketing. Our mantra, as we're developing it, is confidence for the small business. Confidence that you are making good marketing decisions. Usually it's like half of my advertising is working. I don't know which half it is. That's always been the old belief. I don't know if it's working. Don't know if it's working. And the message, it's mostly always informative. Here's Bob and Tom's Heating and Cooling. At Bob and Tom's Heating and Cooling, we have heating and cooling stuff. We can come out and repair things. You know, this is all just factual stuff that people understand. But the mantra is what's important. What makes you different as a person? What are your value systems? What do your people say about you that's all consistent? That's where the mantra lies. And if you're a really new business, you probably don't have a mantra yet. It's something that has to develop. If you're a mature business, say you've been around at least 5 to 10 years or more, that mantra is a sleeping giant. It's within your organization. And hopefully it's a good mantra. But you find it out by interviewing your folks and saying, what's the strength of us? What's great about our company? And when 90% of them are saying the same thing, or they're all hinging around the service or the price or some area of that nature or some value system that you have evoked, and that's where the mantra lies. And the mantra needs to be in everything that you do. It's that sleeping giant within all great organizations that's discovered and developed into a persuasive ad campaign. For example, we handle a grocery store, and that grocery store has a mantra of service. Your mantra always usually is in service, price, selection, within that area. Okay, theirs lies in service, and we came up with the boomerang theory. Every decision we make is based on one question: will it bring the customer back? That's how we convey their mantra. And when we start advertising, we're still selling product, but 3 seconds of that ad is saved for innovation to bring you back. So the idea of a mantra is you deserve. Every human being knows the values and can relate to what's relevant in their lives, that they deserve you. And the easiest way to express that are these national brands. Think about the feeling they portray. And reflect on your company. What do you portray? I have to admit, the mantra concept is the most complicated for the small business to understand. But the good news is you're already creating one, whether you know it or not. It's either positive or negative, but you have this feeling in the gut of your people that is consistent. And what I challenge you to do is just ask them. Put out a questionnaire. Make it confidential if you wish, where they don't write their names on it, but they tape up their response and bring it back in. But ask them questions like, what makes us unique? What can we hang our hat on? Why is this strength difficult for our competition to imitate, and why? See, market viability and position and mantra can be very related to each other. And it's important that those same questions to find out that positioning, that unique position, is part of the feeling that that position will convey. So that strength of your position, what is the feeling that that position conveys? Is it time sensitive? Oh, you're saving me time, which was Domino's feeling. You know, I relate to you. You're a busy person. So therefore, I'm going to get that pizza to you a half hour or less. That was their whole deal. It's cheap and adequate. That they didn't go on the quality of the pizza, just that was there quick, right? And so that mantra is time sensitivity. That's a universal truth, that we are limited by our time. And so they went off of that. So when you discover your position in the marketplace relative to your competition, what is the feeling that position conveys? That's the mantra concept. Let's move on. We're getting close to the top of our mountain. The sixth phase of the profit marketing system is share of voice. Now, we're the brander-in-chief, right? We're striving to be that brander-in-chief. We've created systems of this is how we do it here, which is our customer experience factor. We have a position in the marketplace identified through our market viability, that we've looked at our competitors, and we definitely have a position against them that we can talk about and hang our hat on. We have the right process managers in place, and we have some process partners as well to help us on this journey to get our business in top peak performance. Our mantra is established through our position because it's that feeling that we want to convey to people. Now it's all set up. Now let's tell people about it. That's share of voice. That's where we start picking, who do we target? Who is our target market? Now there are a lot of sources you can use locally, from radio stations to TV stations, newspaper, all the main media have free research that you can get your hands on. But I want to leave you with this thought. Whenever you are asked, who's your main target? Who are you trying to go after? If your response is everyone, then you're going to lose a lot of money, because believe it or not, everyone is not your client. Now, I've seen this conversation happen. Here's how it happens. So, sir, who's your client? Well, we have people coming in from 3.5 hours away, and we have these older folks, you know, these elderly couple came in and purchased $300 from us, and this 19-year-old kid came in once and purchased $300 from us. And what they're telling me is the exception to the rule. They're not telling me that our customer are women in their 30s with 2 or 3 children that drive up in a minivan and purchase most of our product. That's what I'm talking about. Who are 80% of your core customers who bring in 90% of your revenues? And you may just have the 80-20 rule. Maybe there's this 20% that brings in 80% of your revenues. Who are these people? That's where you need to spend 100% of your resources targeting, are these folks who are most likely going to shop you or use you. Share of voice is your penetration in the market within your product category. You know, it's been said that there's 4,000 messages that we're bombarded with a day, and there's all these different mediums. And, you know, sometimes you get frustrated because you can choose cable, and there can be, now there's satellite radio people can listen to, there's broadcast radio, there's all these different niches, there's all this internet stuff you can advertise on. And as I see these business owners pulling their hair out, consider this. Out of all the media out there, you yourself spend your time with about 10% of it. You probably have your top five stations on TV, including cable, that you listen to. Maybe it's ESPN, CNN, and then a couple of local broadcast stations. Maybe it's some primetime shows that you were just enamored with. You are no different than your customers are. So you can feel confident if your target is listening or spends time with a certain medium to invest in that medium and just be satisfied that this percentage of folks who are loyal to that medium are going to hear your message over and over again. And repetition is king. It is better to reach 10% of the market 100% of the time than 100% of the market one time. Remember that repetition is king. It is more important to reach 10% of your population 100% of the time than 100% 10% of the time. Just like when you teach these systems of this is how we do it here, it's better to remind than instruct, right? Teach them, tell them 1,000 times, 1,000 times, 1,000 times, this is how we do it here. I'm just reminding you. Well, when you're learning about a business, the same holds true. We've learned our ABCs by repetition. You didn't learn to swim by reading a book, right? You practice it. You went in the water. You came out. You went in the water. You came out. You practice over and over and over and over again until it became a skill. And that's what being a brand or chief is too. It's about being a skill. And the only way you can educate people about your business is being skillful, that you need to be repetitious with it. You need to be consistent. You deliver on your marketing promise. And you deliver it 100% of the time with a system of this is how we do it here. And that is share a voice. You know, George Zimmer, founder of Men's Warehouse, I had the privilege of interviewing George, and I asked him, what's your definition of branding? And he gave me the most simple response to branding. And he said this: consistency and repetition will create any brand, assuming that you are delivering on your marketing promise. Consistency, repetition will create any brand, assuming that you are delivering on your marketing promise. Are you delivering on your marketing promise? Don't tell people what's obvious about your business. Tell them what's important. That's where your mantra lies. That's where your market viability lies. Because our resources are precious. We need our advertising to work. And so when you are targeting your share of voice with your dollars, take 100% of your budget and target it to where those 80% core people are present. What mediums do they spend time with? And hit them over and over and over again, reminding them of this is who we are, this is who we are, this is how we're different, this is how we're different. And now it's time to reach the summit. The summit of profit marketing, the very top, is passion. A passion, a deep-seated passion for what you are doing. You know, I've heard it said that if you spend even a minute in your life in a situation where you don't feel appreciated or that you don't feel fulfilled, get out. You know, our biggest client, the brander-in-chief, said to me, he told me this story about passion. He said, you know, I had this 14-year produce guy, and he could stock produce. He could do everything right in produce except engage customers. And that is what we're all about, engaging customers and bringing them back, that boomerang theory I talked about earlier. He went up to him and said, you know, I got to let you go. And you can understand this gentleman was enraged. He was frustrated. I've been here 14 years. I gave 14 years of my life to you. How can you let me go? Because you've been reminded and reminded and reminded that we need you to engage the customer, and you just don't feel comfortable doing it. And that's who we are, and we love you, and we're going to miss you. But that's who we are, and everyone else is doing it, and you cannot get on board. 10 years after he let him go, this gentleman came back looking for Dave. And, you know, Dave was, uh-oh, what's he coming back here for, as you can imagine? Is he, you know, what's he got in his pockets? Well, he came back with a sincere heart, and he went up to Dave and said, you know, I got to thank you. And he goes, for what? He said, for setting me free, for letting me go. See, I'm into bicycling. Bicycling was always my passion. It wasn't produce. Sure, I was good at it. I was good at stocking and making good displays. But I own 3 bike stores in Iowa now, and I would never have gone on that venture had you not set me free. So I just want to thank you. My life is filled with passion and filled with the thing that I really love, and that's bicycling. What do you really love? Because if you should have been a teacher and you're stuck in this business right now because you got this lease and so forth, you know, you really need to start planning on being a teacher because life is short. And that's where we need to fulfill our passions and be wild and fulfill our dreams. So passion is the apex that flows actually through everything else. You have passion for what you do. And I'm so excited and appreciative to have this time with you. And I wish you all the best in all your adventures. Be wild, be adventurous, be courageous, and make good decisions. Because when it comes down to it, everything is marketing.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. As we close, let me share some breaking news at Grandian Associates. Many of you will remember our sharing about a four-day program called Service Managers University, centered around the ProfitMax software. Now, that four-day, $10,995 program has now been turned into a product. Manuals, help screens, and audio CD tutorials have now been developed to allow you to effectively learn how to use the ProfitMax system at your office without having to come for training. Now, there's no travel, and the cost is only $49.95. It will be released in October 2007, but if you order today, you'll receive a $500 pre-release discount. Give us a call or attend a free webinar on the program. Webinars are held every other week. To join a session, simply call our office at 1-800-432-7963. Or you can go to our website at www.grandiassociates.com. The website lists the dates and times, and you can register to attend right online. Come listen and learn. You'll be glad you did. For more information on our three-day basic business boot camps or the performance-based ProfitMax software, simply call Grandian Associates at 1-800-432-7963. Or check us out on the web. Again, the address is www.grandiassociates.com. A small investment in training can produce big profits. The Service Contractors Business Presentation of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandian Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.